Setup Nation, there is a ton to talk about from the week of March 4th at spring training here in 2024. Justin Steele, Shota Imanaga, Christopher Morel, third base, Cubs prospects, injuries, tons to react to right now, and I'm going to do that here on the Setup Man podcast. Hey, welcome into the Setup Man podcast. It's me, Kyle Stanley, and I'm excited to do this for the first time ever. It's more of a reaction type of episode, a little less news, a little more fan reaction kind of feel to this. And so if you are just showing up for the first time, welcome in. And I hope that you will comment and subscribe on this, as I love engaging with our audience. If you put a comment down below, as I always say, unless it's just a jerk comment or something that's trying to stir up some drama, I'm not going to respond to that, but I'll respond to just about everything else. So I hope that you will go ahead and do that. Make sure to also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SetupManPod, because we're posting lots of stuff there, including last week we posted a little something about Christopher Morel and his rough day at third base. That went viral and a lot of reactions to that. We got a shout out from CHGO, so I will return the shout out. CHGO, if you are not following that podcast, great Cubs and Chicago All Sports podcast there on YouTube and on your favorite podcast platforms. Now, what I want to talk about today is a lot of things. And so we're going to go ahead and get it started right now with the number one thing. Was Justin Steele has been named the opening day starter for the Chicago Cubs here in 2024. I don't think that that's any surprise. If it is, I think that you've been hoping for something that's probably not going to happen, like a Blake Snell signing, like a Jordan Montgomery signing. Sorry, guys. I don't see that happening at all for this team right now. Tom has been very clear, it seems like, to Jed this offseason that the spending needs to be really smart and not going over that tax luxury threshold, at least not before the start of the season. Now, he hasn't been outward and public about that. I'm just kind of getting that from what I see from this offseason, right? Like, they just really waited till the end to get Bellinger. They got a smoking deal with Imanaga. They went a little bit more of the prospect route by getting Michael Busch for first base rather than going out and getting a guy like a Brandon Belt to solidify first base for a year or two. So it seems like they're really trying to go the cost-cutting ways. So when Justin Steele was named the opening day starter, I think it might have been for some people like, oh, I was really hoping that we would get Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery. Maybe he would be the opening day starter, but no. It's Justin Steele. He deserves it. The dude is a beast. That Mississippi fastball, that cutter, just baffling dudes at the plate every single outing. He was by far the horse for the Cubs in 2023. And I expect him to do about the same. I don't think he's going to necessarily do better. I don't think he's necessarily do worse. I think he's going to put up very similar numbers to 2023. So congratulations to Justin Steele. Let me know what you think about that in the comments. All right, this was probably the most talked about thing this last week. Christopher Morel and the third base question marks. Did you see that game? The couple errors that he had, one he sailed over the first baseman's head, that was the biggest issue. And then he just kind of whiffed on a line drive, and that one didn't concern me as much. But man, you know, I know Freddie Quevedo, the interpreter for the Cubs, and I sent him a text. I'm like, dude, I really want Morel to take over this spot. I really want him to get it. And he's, you know, he responded back to me. He said he's going to be there, brother. Just, you know, hold on. And that's what I'm holding on to right now. I don't know about you guys out there. Setup Nation, comment down below. Are you holding out for Christopher Morel, or are you buying into the Mastroboni / Madrigal / Wisdom kind of, you know, trio over there at third base, depending on the matchup, whoever's best there, and having Morel at DH? And then there's also been the talks of JD Davis coming over and maybe playing third base. The Giants just put him on waivers. And originally I was kind of like, I don't really want a third baseman who didn't have a great year, was washed up. And then I started to look at the numbers and I was like, hey, I can deal with that. Like 18 home runs from third base. I think he played 125-ish games. So I messaged a buddy of mine who's a Giants fan, huge Giants fan, calls himself an analyst for the Giants, but he knows a ton. And I was like, hey, what's up with this JD Davis guy? Like, he doesn't seem like he had bad numbers. Why did the Giants put him on waivers? And he was like, he just kind of wore out at the end of the year. He's not an everyday player. He's a spot starter at third base, and he's going to put up good numbers if you maintain him correctly. And I was just kind of thinking like that. That's perfect. Yeah. I mean, like, put him at third base, ship off either Madrigal or Mastroboni, or maybe Patrick Wisdom, and let JD Davis and some combination of Morel and maybe whoever's left over there, either the Madrigal or the Mastroboni, kind of man third base. Then if one of them takes over, awesome. If one of them doesn't take over, that's okay, because you can still do that trio. You can have Morel at DH. The reason I don't like Morel at DH is it takes away the Canario bat. I'm really excited about Alexander Canario, and especially after him talking about doing some changes up to his swing in the offseason. I think the guy is really ready to come back. He hit 30 plus home runs a couple years ago in the minors. This guy has crazy power, and I want him at DH. A lot of you were like, well, put him in the outfield. Personally, I saw him at spring training. I don't like what his reads look like on fly balls. He looks very choppy. No offense to the guy. Maybe he's working through a few things, but he didn't look like a confident outfielder to me. He looked very much like a DH for now. Not saying he can't develop that, but I like him at the DH spot. I like Christopher Morel getting reps in the field. If you look at the stats from last year, Morel, when he was in the field, was a much better offensive player than when he was a DH. He has a ton of energy. He needs to wear that off. He needs to go out there. He needs to be a part of the action. And I think sitting in the dugout waiting for his next at bat is not good for him based on the mentality of Morel. So let me know what you think. Would you rather have JD Davis and some combination of Morel and him and maybe whoever's left over, Madrigal or Mastroboni or Wisdom, kind of trading off at third base? Or would you rather have Morel full-time, give him the full-time opportunity, and if he fails, then you've got the Madrigal, Mastroboni, Wisdom backup as your plan B? Which would you rather have? Next up, how about Shota Imanaga in his second start of the spring? The numbers, you know, were decent. He gave up one home run, gave another run in that second inning as well. But what I noticed was a lot more fastball usage, and the fastball played. Like, guys swinging through fastballs down the middle with two strikes. He got Cal Rally right on a high fastball on a 3-2 count in a fairly big situation there in the second inning. At spring training, there's no such thing as really a big situation, but, you know, testing him out. And I think when I look at Imanaga, I'm setting my expectations not to be a savior, right? And if you look at the contract that he signed, that's not a savior contract. We didn't sign him to a Yamamoto type of contract where he's going to be the ace in the opening day starter. This guy is going to have his struggles, especially in Wrigley during the warm months when the wind is blowing out or the ball is carrying. He's a fly ball pitcher. I honestly, like, the way I'm thinking of him is kind of like Ted Lilly. When we watched Ted Lilly, he was dominant, but whenever he would get in trouble was when he gave up the long ball. And that's because he was a fly ball pitcher. He's not going to overpower you. He's going to finesse you. He's still going to like Ted Lilly in multiple games was a major strikeout pitcher. Most of the time striking out one per inning. I see Imanaga maybe even being more than that, striking out more guys, but still the susceptible part of his game is going to be that fly ball, home run, getting into the basket, leaving a couple pitches out over the plate every once in a while because he doesn't overpower you. Those balls are sometimes going to end up in the basket. But the big thing is, can he limit the damage? And he's got great control. That's one thing that we've seen. He's fitting in really well with the team so far. A lot of the guys are talking about how they're really impressed with his English. So that's really exciting to see. So set the expectations, right? You know, like, if he ends up this year with a high 3, low 4 ERA and throws over 140 innings, I'm saying that's a pretty successful first year for Imanaga, and a good replacement from who he's trying to replace, which is Marcus Stroman, who we saw be a Cy Young guy in the first half and then basically kind of barely even a major leaguer the second half. He was rough to watch the second half. So if there can be some consistency, right, in Imanaga's game, go out there, throw 5, 6, 7 innings, give up 3 or 4 runs each time. I think the Cubs are competing for wins and getting more tallies in the win column when he's out there because of him limiting the damage. That's the way I see him as a pitcher. So speaking of other pitchers, Jameson Taillon was scratched from his start on Saturday. It was supposed to be his first spring start. Back tightness, so not a terrible thing. Back tightness can, you know, if you let it go, I'm glad that they shut it down early is really where I'm at on that. You let that thing go and try to go out there and pitch through it, that is going to be a bad situation for getting on the sidelines for a few months rather than just maybe a week or two. Based on this, though, I don't see him being ready for opening day. There's been no reports coming out that he's not going to be ready for opening day. But when something like this happens in spring, even the most minor of setbacks for a pitcher does seem to have a bigger domino effect. So I would be really surprised if he's ready for opening day, which means that you might see Javier Assad get that spot start. Hopefully not Drew Smyly. I was expecting a better spring so far out of Drew Smyly, just based on all the work he had done at Driveline, but you can just tell he's trying to find it. There was that new like splutter, whatever it's called. There's so many different names for new pitches now that he was working on. And I saw it in live batting practice over at spring training as well. It was staying up. It was sailing on him. It didn't look like he had a good feel for it, to be completely honest. If that was the pitch, maybe I've got it wrong. Yeah, Drew Smyly, I don't think is the answer. I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he surprises us and goes out there and does great in a couple spot starts. Or it also wouldn't surprise me if at some point the Cubs DFA him this year. That's where I'm at. I don't really see him being in the middle. I think it's going to be one or the other. And then unfortunately, Caleb Killian also injured. Man, that was really tough to see. He looked like he was ready to turn a corner. And as a fan who remembers going back to his debut with the Cubs against the Cardinals a few years back and seeing him mow down the first nine batters, and you're like, this is the guy. This is the Mark Pryor that we've been waiting for, right? Like that was some of the buzz. And then everything from there on was just really tough to watch. Couldn't find the strike zone, hitting guys, walking everyone he saw. I remember he had like a 5-pitch, 1-2-3 bullpen outing at the end of last year. And I was like, okay, like maybe that's the solution. Maybe he's going to be a bullpen guy. Maybe he'll be a high leverage late innings guy, or even just like a 6th or 7th inning guy that can come in and get that 1-2-3, or maybe even a couple innings like Assad or Keegan Thompson from a couple years ago. And I started setting my expectations there, and I started to see him in this 2024 bullpen playing a decent role. And then when you see him hitting close to 100 miles an hour, I think he even touched 100 once during the spring, and his control was looking great. I don't think he walked a single guy in his 6 innings in the spring, and then, you know, gives up a base hit against the Royals, and then you can just tell he was not feeling it, comes out, and then I can't even say the name of it. The major Tureus tear, something like that. I don't know what it's called, but it's going to sideline him for a few months. And that's a really big bummer for a guy that you just know has not only been working on his stuff and working on his mechanics, but probably working a lot on his mental side of it as well, because that seemed to be the biggest issue with Caleb. Was he's got the stuff. It's electric. He battles a little bit with control, but it seemed like as soon as he got into games, it was just like he lost it, like mentally. And a version of the yips, you could say. So it looked like he was ready to turn that corner, and that's really disappointing. So I hope he gets better soon. I would love to see him play some sort of role here in the Cubs bullpen in 2024. You know, one of the things that surprised me this week was the cuts. If you did not see, PCA, Brennan Davis, Ben Brown, and Luis Vasquez all optioned to AAA. I kind of think this was inevitable. However, I thought that was early in spring training. I didn't expect PCA especially to be sent down to AAA in basically after 2 full weeks of spring training. This is a guy that a lot of people are expecting him to come up and man center field and Bellinger potentially move over to first base. And there's a lot of domino effects that could happen from there. But PCA has been thought of as, is this a guy that maybe even breaks camp with the team? I've never really thought it was going to be that way. I thought he was going to start with his needing to hone the bat and everything in AAA. I think the glove is already gold glove caliber. In fact, I made predictions earlier this week that I think he's going to win a gold glove this year. If he comes up in May and has enough innings, I think he's going to win a gold glove for the Cubs. And I'm really confident in that because the dude is on a scouting report, an 80 out of 80 from a defensive standpoint. I think that right away, and he takes so much pride in his defense. I think he is just that guy that has so much confidence that it's going to be like, okay, this dude only played 4 or 4.5 months of the season, but his glove was so good that he deserves the gold glove. That's how good I think he is. From the bat standpoint, there's still a lot to develop there. He's still swinging through a lot of high fastballs. I think that that was going to be the reason he stayed in AAA. But I figured that move was going to happen 3 weeks, 4 weeks into spring training, not at the end of week two. Brennan Davis, especially, we only got to see him have 7 at-bats. He had a home run, had a couple RBIs, had an impressive double to the opposite field in the alley in the right center. I know that he is, you know, coming back from injuries. I know that he has had a rough go of it, but it just seemed to me like he was in a really good spot. And then, of course, he gets hit in the head. And this guy's got to have, like, the worst luck ever. He just injury after injury, right, that has sidelined him. And then he gets hit in the head in spring training and concussion protocol. You don't even know if he actually had a concussion. I don't think there's been reports of that. If they did, I missed that. But I really thought, you know, hey, give him a few more games once he comes back, and then we send him to AAA. But, you know, it is a crowded outfield, and if anyone's going to come up, it's probably going to be PCA. But that was kind of surprising. Ben Brown was also a little bit surprising. I think he's going to play a role in the 2024 bullpen, especially with Caleb Killian going down, Jameson Taillon having that little bit of back tightness. I expected Ben Brown to be a little bit of a later send down, but you know, it sounds to me, this feels like Craig Counsell kind of already knows what his roster is going to look like. I think he already in his mind is like, yeah, I might have like one or two decisions, but I know where these guys are going to go. Saying that Mike Tauchman is already guaranteed a spot on the team, like, I, to me, that was even kind of like, is he, especially with Bellinger coming back, does he have a spot? And so it seems like Counsell already knows where he wants this team to go. As long as everyone stays healthy, seems like he knows what those 26 guys are going to look like. Speaking of the prospects, though, Cubs announced their spring breakout roster. Now, I'm still not quite sure what this whole spring breakout thing is. I've done a little bit of research, 16 exhibition games in the middle of spring training. Each team is sending out basically their top prospects to play. I don't know if they, if it's, you know, tournament style, or if it's just like, hey, here's everyone on display. It feels like it's more like the second there, just everyone on display. So I haven't, you know, to be completely honest, I haven't done a ton of research on it just because I'm focused a little bit more on the season, but it's fun. And these guys that haven't necessarily played in the majors yet or haven't had a ton of time in the majors, it's a chance for them to put their skills on showcase without waiting for, you know, the minor league all-star game. It's kind of like minor league all-star teams in the middle of spring training, which is what it's kind of feeling like. A few guys that, you know, you expect to be on there: Cade Horton, Michael Arias, Porter Hodge from the pitcher standpoint. Lots of the top 30 are in this. Moises Ballesteros, the catcher, Cubs number 8 prospect. Matt Shaw, James Trontos, Jefferson Rojas, BJ Murray, Hayden McGeary, a lot of the top 30 guys on the infield. And then, of course, PCA, Owen Casey, Kevin Alcantara, and Brennan Davis in the outfield. So one guy that I'm excited to see on that as well from the pitchers is Cole Franklin. He was on the show recently, and I'm really excited. I think Cole is going to be low-key a guy that that makes his mark here in 2024. So hopefully, you know, if it's just one game, the way I'm kind of looking at it is that's a lot of pitchers. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pitchers. Are they all going one inning each? That'd be interesting. What if the team that's winning is you know, pitching in the bottom of the ninth and doesn't need to bat, and then the other team, you know, doesn't have that ninth guy to go out there? Does that guy just get shafted and he doesn't pitch in this game? I don't know. So we'll see. But congratulations to all those guys that did make the team. And we'll see what that's all about. I don't expect a WBC kind of feel to that. It's just going to be, again, putting those guys' talents on showcase in the middle of the spring. All right, few things to end with here. We've got our dunce cap of the week. One thing that I have just not been super stoked about is actually outside of the Cubs organization, and it's with Marquis. Marquis, what are you guys doing here? What's with the remote broadcast? I just don't quite understand it. Okay, maybe it's a money-saving thing. That's fine. But, I mean, if you've got Boog there, which I know he's out there, if you have Lance Rozdowski, if you have Elise Menaker, if you have all these sideline reporters, you have the team to just go ahead and do a in-person broadcast. But instead, you're asking Pat Hughes during his offseason, his much-deserved offseason, to come into the studio and do a remote broadcast, which he probably doesn't get a whole lot of thrill about. Maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to warm up like the rest of the players at spring training. But Pat's a professional. I think he's going to be okay. And then you're bringing in Ted Lilly from California. I mean, if you're going to have a flight and pay for a flight and have some, and I don't know if Ted has a house in Chicago or what, but like, if you're trying to save money, why are you flying guys like Ted from California into Chicago to do a remote broadcast? Why not just fly him out to Arizona? Like, what are we doing here? So Marquis, I really just don't understand that. I don't think that is great from a fan's perspective. Does it change a whole lot about the broadcast? Not a ton, but there's just every once in a while when you're like, you can just tell these guys are waiting for the camera to change to see what the result is. They can't see it in person. They're waiting to see the reaction of maybe fans. They can't look down in the dugout and see things that they could while they were there in person. Let me know what you think in the comments. Has it changed the way that you've experienced the game, Setup Nation? I'd like to know that. All right, we got a fly the W moment. My fly the W moment of the week is Michael Busch hit his first home run of the spring, his first in a Cubs uniform. That's got to be a good feeling for a guy who's probably feeling a lot of pressure, 26 years old, top 50. Now in the top, I think, 51 prospect list for MLB.com. And he has had a shot last year with the Dodgers, and he knows that this is kind of his time to shine. There's a lot of pressure that goes behind that. And I think that this is a time that Michael Busch is ready to jump out of his shoes and prove himself. But also seeing him at spring training and seeing all the work he's putting in, you know that he's feeling the pressure as well. So that's got to be a great feeling. Congratulations to Mr. Michael Busch. And your feel-good moment of the week. Come on, guys. Belly's back. How did you not get a good feeling when you just saw that tall lefty standing up straight in the batter's box with that bat hanging down behind his back? I mean, that was a good feeling. And seeing him man down some fly balls in center field. 2-for-8 in his first week back, double, 2 RBIs against the Rockies on Saturday. I'm beyond thrilled to have Belly back. So nothing but good things coming up for the Cubs here in 2024 with Belly back in the lineup. And I still think he's batting third. Let me know where you think he's batting in the lineup, but that was my feel-good moment of the week. And coming up this week, a couple things that I'm going to be looking for is that third base situation. Do the Cubs go out and get JD Davis? Do they keep on putting Morel out there? Do they keep on trying out Mastroboni at third base and Wisdom at third base? And, you know, Madrigal's still sidelined a little bit, but I expect him to be healthy and be back out there and seeing time at third base. Looking forward to seeing what happens there. And Jameson Taillon's health, I would like to see a update, something with him throwing, something with him just getting some reps out there. It's probably not going to see game action till the end of spring is now what I'm guessing, just to be precautious, and maybe some clarity on who might be taking his spot, or because of the off days early on in the season, do they maybe just say, hey, maybe we can go with a 4-man rotation while we wait for Taillon? I don't think so, especially with Imanaga there. I think it's going to be still 5-man rotation just to give Imanaga a little bit more time as he's used to rest every 6 days, not every 5 days. So those are the things I'm looking out for this week. What are you paying attention to this week? Let me know in the comments. Setup Nation, thank you so much for joining us here on the Setup Man podcast. I'm going to go put my arm on ice. We'll see you.